My challenge this morning is to this church to keep being what you have been, a missionary church. You may not be aware of it, but this church has touched the world. This church has changed lives. And as I go to prayer this morning, I want to remind you of three things. Number one, there's a giraffe out there, and that giraffe has reached more children than you have any idea. I can't even tell you of the kids in South America, Africa, India, Pakistan, Papua New Guinea. You saw them in the video, and as I watch that video, I have to struggle not to cry because those kids are so precious. And those kids have come to Christ because of people like you who love them, care for them, pray for them, and give for them. So that giraffe is hungry. Give him some change. Stuff something down his throat. I can't believe Marcia came up with this idea, I believe. And I'll tell you what, when we get to eternity, she is going to stand very tall among us, because she has really reached a lot of lives. I want to also mention a couple of little kids that are struggling for their lives this morning. I believe a teacher, I'm not sure, but I believe a teacher has come to me and mentioned a little boy named Max. Touches my heart because I have a grandson named Max. Little Max has cancer in both of his legs. He's 2 years old. He's fighting for his life. The doctors have said there's nothing more they can do for him. Would you join me in praying for little Max? A little girl named Sophia, I think 4 years old if I remember correctly, has heart trouble, is in extreme difficulty. I want to pray for little Sophia. I know that prayer changes things. I know that it has power beyond anything we can imagine. And it's not always that it works out the way we want or the way we think. It's that it works out God's way. And the most important thing is that His will be done, and that those who are in need and those who are suffering feel His presence and comfort. So I'm going to ask you, before we open our Bibles, to join me in a word of prayer. Let's pray for each and every one of these who are in need. Gracious Heavenly Father, what an astounding thing. We sit here in Pennsylvania, and we walk into the throne room of Your grace, and we touch the world. We touch the lives of other people. Father, I want to lift up before You the children of this world today, a world that is suffering beyond anything. People in America have no idea what the shutdown that has been caused because of this pandemic has done to the lives of people around the world. Heavenly Father, give Your comfort to the poor, the suffering, and the afflicted of this earth. Let Your grace go out and flow like water and shine like light in the lives of the children of this world. Heavenly Father, I pray for little Max. I pray for Sophia, these dear children, precious to You beyond any quality that we can even imagine. How I pray that You will give them a sense of Your presence and a sense of Your comfort. Lord, You have the power to touch them and heal them in a moment of time. We know that Your plan is perfect. We ask that You will act according to Your perfect wisdom, but above all, that these little children will know You and know Your presence and sense Your comfort and Your power in their lives as they go through the affliction that they're going through. Father, as we open Your word, I ask that God the Holy Spirit would open our minds and our hearts and touch us with the greatness of Your grace and your love, to the honor and the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We're in the book of Revelation, but I would like you to open with me to the book of Romans. If I had a favorite book in the Bible, I suppose it would be the book of Romans. When I was going through Bible college, and I may have told this story before, you have to excuse me because I repeat myself. I had a professor that wanted us to outline the book of Romans. I hated outlining. I didn't like it. I've since learned the value of it. But I didn't want to outline the book of Romans, and he made a joke at the beginning, the very first class that we had, and he said, if anyone doesn't want to outline, you could just memorize the book. And I thought, I've got a way out. I went to him after class and I said, did you mean what you said about memorizing the book? And he said, I didn't think anybody would take me serious. I said, I'd rather memorize the book than outline the book. We had 16 weeks in the course, 16 chapters in the book of Romans. He agreed with me that if I would memorize and recite to him, and I would go in every Friday afternoon, and I would recite to him a chapter of the book of Romans. That was one of the greatest things that I got from the time that I was in Bible college, to get the book of Romans in my heart. But in Romans chapter 8, and I want to really bear down, I want to drill into your minds one thing this morning. And that is the love of Christ that motivates and empowers missions. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ? Have you trusted Christ this morning? Do you know that you have eternal life? I want to tell you, there is no condemnation to you. You are free from condemnation because of the work of Christ. But that position that you hold, that freedom that you have, that liberation from the condemnation of sin, calls us to be something. And so Paul says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Could I just challenge you this morning? Fassel said, if every American was just like me, what kind of America would America be? I want to challenge you with a bigger vision. If I were the only believer in the world, how many people would hear about Christ? If I was the only child of God, and I had a chance to fill this box with something to show the love of Christ to the kids of the world, you have no idea. I went to India one time, of the multitude of times I've been there. I had the opportunity to baptize a man. He had been a Hindu. His children came to one of the children's programs that Nan does around the world. They got little coloring books. They took the pictures that they colored home. They had a verse in Hindi or Telugu in that case. They put the picture up on the wall. It had a Bible verse. Every day, that man woke up, saw that verse on the wall. Went off to work, came home, saw that verse on the wall. He came to Christ from a verse on a picture that was in something like this box. And I had the opportunity to baptize that man and welcome him into the family of God. Would you touch the world? Would you make a commitment with me this morning to touch the world for Christ? If you will, drop down with me to verse 9. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, I hope and pray that the Spirit of God is in you this morning. If you've trusted Christ, He is there. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Could I just say that if you're here this morning, if you cannot say with absolute certainty, the Spirit of God dwells within me, the decision is so simple. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall have eternal life. And the Spirit of God will take up permanent residence in you. The Spirit of God will place on you the seal of the Heavenly Father. You will be a child of God forever. Don't let this day pass. If you're here this morning without Christ, without making that decision, you have no guarantee of tomorrow. None of us know if we will live beyond the moment. Verse 10, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. That is the desire of God for each and every one of us. Therefore, brethren, and this is the point that I hope we get, we are debtors. We have a debt to pay. Grace is free. Salvation is a gift. Eternal life is ours for the taking. Everything that we have was purchased through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. But once received, it places us under obligation. We have a debt to pay. And Paul says that we are debtors. We are debtors not to the flesh. Because if we live according to the flesh, we will die. But if we live according to the Spirit, we will live. Verse 14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. It's very easy to misunderstand or misinterpret this and say, well, maybe I'm not being led, therefore I'm not a child of God. The point that Paul is making here, and there are different words that are used for children, for young, growing believers, for sons, the word that is used here is used for an adult, responsible son. If you're being led by the Spirit of God, you are like an adult, mature, responsible son. That's the point that Paul is making. I want you, each and every one of you, to be like an adult son, responsible, capable, fulfilling the plan of God. And with that, we'll get back to our text in the book of Revelation. My throat's a little ragged this morning because I've only taught, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 classes. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things says he who is holy and who is true. Bless you, brother. I might just try one of these. Maybe it'll work. I feel better already. Is my voice better? I think it is. To the angel, the messenger of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things says he who is holy and true. You know, when someone who is holy and true speaks to you, it's a good idea to listen. He who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. By the way, I think there are probably still copies of the notes. There's no way that I can cover everything in the notes. There's no way that the notes can cover everything in the text. But get the notes and read through the notes. The one who has the key of David is the one who has the key to the eternal kingdom. What he opens, no one shuts. What he shuts, no one opens. By the way, in the first chapter, he says, I have the keys of death and hell. He can open the door to deliver you from death, or he can lock you in hell. How does he use that key? Depends on you. Depends on what you do when you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door. My friends, if I get nothing across to you this morning, from what Fassel said, from what you saw in the video, and from this text, I want to challenge you. There's an open door sitting in front of you. What good is an open door? What good is an open door? It's no good unless you go through it. You have to go through the door. I can open the door. Christ can open the door. Someone else can open the door. The door is open. You know what I would love to see? I'd love to see every box back there gone by the end of this day. You can change the life of a kid. If you change the life of a kid, you change the life of their family. You change the life of their friends. What's it cost to send one of these? $30? You got to be kidding me. Would you use $30 to change the life of a child? Someone ought to go back there and take about 10 of these. I'm serious. You'll spend that much on a vacation? You couldn't even do a vacation for $30. I have set before you an open door. I have set before you an open door. This was written 2,000 years ago to a church that existed in Asia Minor, and the Lord Jesus Christ is talking through this passage to you this morning, and he's saying, I have set before you an open door. Nick, if someone came to you and said, I would like to send 10 of these, but I don't want to go through the difficulty. Would you have people here that would fill them and send them if someone paid for it?
He's up in the sound booth. He does that every year. Dave does it every year.
You know what? It's always the wife, isn't it? Somebody ought to send 10 of these boxes. You say $30? I'm making a commitment to you. I want to send 10 of these boxes.
Thank you.
Amen. Right? I'm challenging you. You have no idea the impact that you can have. The world is waiting. The door is open. Pakistan, South America, Africa, India, all around the world, they are crying. You came to church this morning thinking, I don't really want to go. I don't feel like it. Didn't get enough sleep last night. If we were in any of the countries that we go to this morning, there would not be enough seats for the people to fill this place. And you know what? If I taught from whenever I started until I'm done, they would be going, why are you stopping? I have taught for 8 hours a day, and they go, we need more. Teach us the Word of God. We're hungry. But I am on a time restriction here, so we better get to the text. I've set before you an open door and no one can shut it. You know, God has given to Nan and I an open door. God has given to Fassel an open door. No one can shut that door. That door cannot be shut. The door is open to you to touch the world. You can do it every day through your prayers. You can do it from time to time through things like this. You can touch the lives of people by stuffing that giraffe full of change. No one can shut that door. This is a missionary church. You have a little strength. I love this. You say, I'm not wise enough, I'm not bright enough, I'm not strong enough as a Christian. No, he says, look, your strength is small, but you keep my word and you have not denied my name. That's all it takes, my friends. Stick with the word and lift up the name. I love the songs that the song leaders were giving us this morning, because it's all about exalting the name Jesus Christ. Verse 9, indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan. We talked about him yesterday. I won't spend a lot of time on this, except to say that in the early church, those that were the most hostile to the Christian message were the unbelieving Jews, because here were people that were claiming the Messiah had come, and they rejected Jesus of Nazareth, and they said, no, we're waiting for another Messiah. And I have to tell you, Fassel was very humble in his presentation about his work. This guy online sometimes begins at midnight because it's morning overseas. He'll begin at midnight teaching the Word of God, and he's still teaching at 8 o'clock in the morning. And he has thousands and thousands of people that are listening to him online. He has found a way. He knows all the things I don't know about how to use a phone and a computer. And he has found a way to touch the world even during the pandemic. You know, this pandemic, it's been tough, hasn't it? Man, we've suffered. Any of you been out of work? Any of you been stuck at home? I'll bet you one thing. I'll bet not one of you has missed a meal. Anybody here gone hungry for a day? Anybody gone hungry for a week? Have you ever gone a week without eating? There are people all over the world that have no food because the world has shut down, because we would rather starve people to death. We would rather let people with cancer die. We would rather let people with heart conditions die. We can't do operations because people can't go to the hospital, and we have killed millions and millions of people around the world to shut down for something that's like the flu. We have gone insane. Not just in this country. I can't believe this. It's worldwide. Except for places like Sweden that said, if you get sick, die. If you don't, live. Not only Sweden, but South Dakota. I don't know about you, but I'm voting for Kristi Noem for the next president. There's persecution around the world that afflicts the believers, people in prison, as Fassel mentioned, people who are put to death for their faith in Christ. The synagogue of Satan, the Jews that rejected Christ, persecuted the early church. He says they say they're Jews, they're not. Why? Because Paul tells us in Romans chapter 2 and verse 28, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, whose circumcision is not of the hands of men, but of God, because he has trusted in Jesus Christ. I will make them come and worship before your feet. Did you know that the world is coming and worshiping before our feet this morning? Do you have any idea how many people have come to Christ because of this pandemic? Look, the enemy uses everything he can for evil. God takes his evil and turns it for good. I can't tell you the number of emails I get from people who were atheists, people who rejected Christ, people who were hostile to the church, people who hated the Word of God, and because of this pandemic, they have come to faith in Jesus Christ. Hundreds and thousands and millions of people. The enemy can't come up with a plan that God can't use for his glory. kind of reminds me of a verse. Isn't there a verse somewhere that says, I'm too blessed to be depressed? I'm too anointed to be disappointed? I'm too sanctified? The guy he's talking about that we met in Anchorage, Alaska? I said, what's your name? He said, Chili Dog. I said, Chili Dog? What kind of a name is that? And he said, well, I used to be Mad Dog. The guy had been a warrior overseas. He had done a lot of stuff in combat, and he came back, and he was, like many of our warriors, he was angry, depressed, raging within himself. He said, I used to be the Mad Dog. He said, then I found Christ. He said, I changed my name from Mad Dog to Chili Dog. I only know him as Chili Dog. I pray for him all the time. I'm walking across the street in Anchorage, Alaska, and I look across the street, and there's this guy looking at me, and he's just got this beautiful smile on his face. You don't often see people that just look at you and smile like, hey, man, I love you. I'm looking at him, and I think, what is the deal with this guy? And I said, how you doing? He said, I'm too blessed to be depressed. I thought, wow. He said, I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I said, you must know the man. He said, I know the man. And Fassel and I got to talking to him, and that's how we met Chili Dog. And then I added to his little phrase, too blessed to be depressed, too anointed to be disappointed, and too sanctified to be terrified. I hope you are. Notice this, verse 10, because you have kept my command to persevere. Have you done it? Nothing else matters if you and I haven't done it. Nothing about this church matters. The open door remains an open door with no one going through it unless you and I make the decision that we are going to stick with it. You know what makes great Christians? You know what makes for heroes of the faith? People that won't give up. My dad was a runner. Some of you know the story of my dad. He was an Olympic runner, set 6 world records. When my brothers and I got to the point where we were running in high school, he told us one thing. Excuse me. Told us one thing. I don't care if you win. I don't care if you lose. I'll say it the way he said it. By God, you better never walk off the track. You never walk off the track. Have you walked off the track?
Tell us about your dad's experience when he was a child.
When my dad was 8 years old, he was burned in a schoolhouse fire. He and his older brother used to run to the school, light the fire. This was like a one-room schoolhouse in western Kansas back in 1915. They used to run to the schoolhouse. They would light the fire to warm the schoolhouse for the teacher and the other students that would come. And one morning they got to the school. It was in February. They had had a meeting the night before, some kind of community meeting they used the schoolhouse for. They ran out of kerosene, so someone put gasoline in the can that they used to light the fire. They came and they were preparing the wood stove, put the wood in and everything. They didn't realize there were hot coals still in the stove. They poured what they thought was kerosene on the fire to help light it, but it was gasoline and it exploded. The can of gasoline exploded in the hands of my dad's older brother, Floyd. Started the schoolhouse on fire. The schoolhouse burned to the ground. They live 2.5 miles from the schoolhouse. You're an 8-year-old and a 13-year-old, and there's no phone, no 911, no ambulance. So what did they do? They ran home. Imagine. How many of you want to go out and run 2 miles? I mean, just imagine running 2 miles after you've been horribly burned. Floyd was burned so badly his guts and intestines were fried. And when the doctor finally got to their home, he looked at Floyd and he said, "There's nothing I can do for him. He will die in 9 days." 9 days later, Floyd died. You know what Floyd was doing when he died? He was singing hymns. My aunt, who was his older sister, told me the story. He died singing hymns, and I think the last thing he said was, "We will meet at Jesus' feet." My dad was so horribly burned, the doctor said they should cut his legs off. His parents refused to allow it. His mother spent hours massaging those burned, scarred, charred legs. Until about a year later, my dad was able to get out of bed and begin to struggle and stumble. And the doctors, who said he'd never walk again, were astounded that not only did he walk, but he began to run. And he began to win. And he became a world champion runner.
Give God praise.
My dad always said, of all the awards he won, as a kid, I remember walking into a bedroom in our ranch house in Kansas, and this bedroom was full of trophies. Trophies that stood this high, trophies from all over the world. I have one trophy that I kept of his from Shanghai, China in 1936 with his name engraved on it. It's a little cup. To me, that was the most important because having been to China, thinking about my dad being there in 1936. But you know what he said? Of all the things that I have done, he was declared the most brilliant student of New York University, got a doctor's degree, won races all over the world, was known. I remember people writing to him from all over the world. He said, "The most important thing I have ever done is I have come to faith in Jesus Christ." My friends, I hope you're there. "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will keep you from the hour of trial coming on the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." I don't think this is talking about the tribulation. I think it is talking about something that comes around every so often and something that has affected us right now, and that is we are in an hour of trial that has affected the whole world. Do you agree? We're in an hour of trial. It doesn't say I will keep you out of it. It says I will keep you through it. When Paul writes to Timothy, he said, "You have followed my doctrine, my way of life, my persecutions, which I suffered in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, and through them all the Lord delivered me." The grammar that he uses in that passage is exactly like this, which tells me that God is not talking about keeping his people from the affliction, the suffering, the hardship, whatever it may be. It's the fact that he carries them through. "I will keep you from that trial." Verse 11, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast what you have that no one may take your crown." You know, we sing the song, "Will there be any stars in my crown?" We better worry about whether we'll have the crown. Hold fast what you have. What does it take for you to be a noble? I mean, we're already in the royal family of God, but can you imagine in the royal family of God being nobility in the royal family of God? Being one of the greats in the royal family of God. You say, "Oh, I don't know if I could do that. I can't preach messages. I can't travel the world. I can't be a missionary." You know what you can do? Hold fast what you have. Every one of you, if you have ever heard one good Bible class, have more than enough to carry you to the end of the life on this earth. You have more than enough to change your world. You have more than enough to pick up a few of these boxes and touch the lives of children. Will you hold fast? Would you just do that? The word hold fast is a word that means to hold in a firm and a mighty grasp. In other words, grab hold and hang on. Don't let go of your faith. Don't let go of what you understand of His Word. None of us are ever going to understand everything in this book. I don't think even in eternity. I think we're going to be learning this book. I believe we're going to be sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. And I think those of us who are pastors, and there are several here, are going to go, man, I never saw that. As He teaches us, and we begin to learn at the feet of the living Word. I have to hurry. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, as I've explained to the people in the classes leading up to this Friday and Saturday, the overcomer is the believer in Jesus Christ. If you're a child of God, you are an overcomer. You have overcome by faith in Christ. I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. As a new believer, I always thought, well, I don't want this promise, because can you imagine standing like a pillar in the temple of God forever and ever and ever? What this means from the ancient perspective is that he erects a pillar in your honor and inscribes on it your deeds. Could I ask you a question? If God inscribed on a pillar in eternity everything that you have done by faith in the power of the Spirit in obedience to the Word of God to change your world, how much would it have to say? Would you take the challenge this morning to start living a life It's so simple. It's so simple. Wouldn't you like to have inscribed on it? They touched the life of a child whose faith touched their family. The father became a pastor. The father began teaching in a church in India. He led thousands to Christ. Why? Because somebody sent a box to a little kid. I would like to be a pillar, or have a pillar erected in my honor in the temple of God. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God, and I will write on him my name, identity. Those who have been with us Friday and Saturday know, as I've tried to drive this point home, everything depends on identity. And what he's talking about here is bearing the name that everyone will know throughout all eternity, to bear the name. Some of the people this weekend, we had the little things that you stick on your shirt that have your name. You walk up to people and you say, hey, how are you doing? John, you know? I haven't seen you in a while, Charles. Wouldn't you like to walk through the kingdom of heaven and have everybody say, I don't know his name, but he's got the name of Jesus on him. Verse 13, here's your final challenge. Will you join me? You got an ear? You better listen. That's what he's saying. He that has an ear, listen. You got an ear? You're accountable. Listen, I've spoken to you. You've heard the word. You're responsible for it. He that has an ear, let him hear. Could I leave you with this? Would you pray for Max, a little 2-year-old boy struggling for his life? Would you pray for Sophia, a little girl struggling for her life? Will you pray for Faisal and the children in their children's home in Pakistan? Will you send one box? And as you send that box, you pray for the child that that box is going to touch. You can change your world. What does it take to change the world? He that has an ear, will you please hear? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for this marvelous church. I thank you for Nick's leadership. Thank you for his love. Thank you for the love of the people that have made us so welcome, treated us so wonderfully. Father, would you just challenge the people who are here this morning, let those boxes be taken up before this day is done. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you so much.